Today is the second Sunday in Lent. The scripture lessons are from Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 8 through 15, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Today's message is titled, Today, Tomorrow, and the Next Day. Hear the word of the Lord from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 26, beginning at the 8th verse. But as soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, "You must die. Why do you prophesy in the Lord's name that this house will be like Shiloh, and this city will be desolate and deserted?" And all the people crowded around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard about these things, they went up from the royal palace to the house of the Lord and took their places at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, "This man should be sentenced to death because he has prophesied against this city. You have heard it with your own ears." Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and all the people, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the things you have heard. Now, reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on those who live in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing." Here ends the reading from the prophet Jeremiah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often have I longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praying the 4th century prayer from St. Jerome. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teachings, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In a little log cabin outside of Ames, Iowa, in 1862, during the Civil War, a little baby boy was born. About a month later, his father died while serving in the army. And that made life even more difficult for the family. Even though the mother of the children remarried a little while later, daily life was barely making ends meet. One day, the second husband just got up and left. Barely making ends meet quickly became not making it at all. A difficult decision had to be made. The two older boys, they will be sent off to the orphan's home to receive daily meals and an education too. The mother, Jenny, was heartbroken having to send Ed and Willie off to a soldier's home in Glenwood, Iowa. At the train station in Ames, Jenny hugged her two boys, Ed, the older at age 11, and Willie, the younger, a few years younger. And Jenny handed them both notes and a letter to the soldier's home. Then she handed them tickets to Council Bluff. Council Bluffs? Ain't the soldier's home in Glenwood? The boys asked. With emotion shaking, their mother, Jenny, she painfully answered, "Yes, it is. But I only had enough money to get you to Council Bluffs. God is going to have to get you the rest of the way." Fighting back the sobs and tears, she continued, "Ed and Willie, be good boys. You must say your prayers every night. I will pray too," as her voice falls off. A final hug at the final call for passengers came, and onto the train they went before the conductor closed the door. There are moments in life that just getting by the present moment is difficult enough. Those times can draw you closer to the Lord God. Council Bluffs? God is going to have to get you the rest of the way. It is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 7, "Since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come?" It is written in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Today, tomorrow, and the next day. Jenny could only do what she could do one day at a time. Today was all she could provide for with the tickets to Council Bluffs and prayers to God. For God is going to have to get you the rest of the way. Traveling on the train, Willie's tummy grows and growls terribly, terribly. "Ed, I'm hungry." "I know, Willie. I am too. You know, Ma didn't have nothing to send with us." Ed thought to himself, "Then why? That's why we're here. This train to the orphan home, Ma can't feed us and Grandpa won't. Might as well sleep." And that's what the two of them did, huddled together till the conductor woke them to get off the train at Council Bluffs. A wonderful aroma drew their attention to the hotel. Ed says, "Let's go check the garbage." Ed eagerly started running around to the back and rummaged through the garbage. Nothing good. Found some old socks and made a sock ball by tying them all together in knots and becoming sort of a round sock ball. And lost then in the rowdy play and toffing the ball back and forth, a gruff-looking woman comes out and told them, "Go home." They said, "We ain't got no home. No place to go unless we make it to the soldier's home in Glenwood." And compassion came to the woman as she asked if they lost their paw in the war, to which they answered, "Yes." And their second paw left them, and their mom put them on the train. They can't go home. Well, God did get them to the soldiers' home. This woman fed them. Her husband was killed at Gettysburg, so she knew the pain and had compassion. When they tried to sneak onto the train the next day, the conductor caught them and wanted to throw them off the train, but then they told him, "We ain't got no home. We got to get to the soldiers' home in Glenwood." And the conductor had compassion on them and made sure they would get to where they're going. In fact, in the years to come, this very same conductor would come and visit them at the soldiers' home and bring gifts too. Willie grew up, changed his name to Billy. Billy's a grown-up name. Willie's a little boy name. Billy's a grown-up name. And Billy, as he grew, he was a fast runner. Oh, he could run so fast. And his fast athletic abilities caught the attention. And he started playing baseball. The Chicago White Stockings hired him. He tried out and he became a Chicago White Stockings baseball player, this Billy. You know, he was the fastest man in baseball at that time in the 1800s as baseball was developing its rules. He could run the bases from a standing start in 14 seconds. In one season, he stole 95 bases. And Billy became a household name across all America. In Chicago, it was in Chicago that Billy sat down on the curb as hymns sung by singers from Pacific Gardens Mission reminded him of his ma and his home. The hymns grabbed hold of his heart. Going to and returning to the Pacific Gardens Mission over and over, eventually Billy was saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. 5 more years of playing professional baseball with Chicago White Stockings, and then he changed his focus to missions for Jesus Christ, eventually becoming a missionary, an evangelist, and holding evangelistic crusades in the Midwest. And then they grew farther and farther across the land. He even made it to New York City, where his crusades were gathering 16,000, 18,000. Wherever and whenever Billy preached, he had his Bible open to Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Billy Sunday preached the old-time religion for man, had an old-time problem of sin, and only the old-time religion of Jesus Christ would save a man. It saved him. It would save you. There is today, there is tomorrow, and the next day. The next day, reach the goal. What you can do, do what you can today. Problems in life, do what you can do today. What about tomorrow? When it's tomorrow, do what you can do today. Do it tomorrow. Do it the next day till you reach your goal. For you who are in Christ, the goal is life in Christ for all eternity. We have today. We trust the Lord for tomorrow. For tomorrow is beyond our control. Though we so desperately want to control our tomorrows, and then the next day after that is the Lord's too. Do what you can do for today. Do it tomorrow too. And the next day till the day of the Lord comes and bring you to the glory, your glorious home in heaven. I had only enough money to get you to Council Bluffs. God is going to have to get you the rest of the way. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, appointing him a prophet to the nation. Set apart before being formed in the womb. Set apart before being born. It's written there in Jeremiah. The Lord had set Jeremiah apart. Jeremiah became to be known as the weeping prophet, as Jeremiah grieved over the sins of his people and their looming judgment, the looming and imminent judgment that the nation's sins had provoked. Jeremiah was sent with warnings. warnings that were unheeded, and the people turned on Jeremiah, rejected the word of the Lord, and rejected returning to the way of life, the way of life with the Lord. Jeremiah was there as Babylon conquered and the unrepented nation. And Jeremiah was there to watch the temple destroyed, the temple Solomon built in all its glorious grandeur. Jeremiah was there to watch it being destroyed, just as Jeremiah's warning words from the Lord declared would come in judgment. In Jerusalem, Jeremiah was greatly mistreated. Jeremiah chapter 20 tells us that Jeremiah was beaten and put in stocks. Chapter 26, the king cut up and burned the scroll Jeremiah had sent to him that had the words of the Lord, words of warning from the Lord. It's written in Jeremiah 36, verse 24, the king and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear, nor did they tear their clothes. In other words, they did not repent and amend their ways. Chapter 37 of Jeremiah tells us of Jeremiah being beaten and put in prison. Chapter 38 tells us Jeremiah's treatment for speaking the word of the Lord as he was sent to do, as he was commanded to do. Chapter 38, they seized him and lowered him by ropes into the cistern of the king's son in the courtyard of the guard. No water, only mud was in the cistern. Jeremiah sank down into the mud for speaking the word of the Lord he was sent to do. In chapter 26, as we heard today, a death sentence was pronounced over Jeremiah. They seized Jeremiah and said he must die. Where? In the city of Jerusalem. Sentenced to death. Jeremiah must be sentenced to death. It's written in Jeremiah chapter 26, beginning of verse 12. Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and all the people, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city and all the things you have heard. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. Amend your ways. Change the road you are walking. Obey the voice of the Lord your God. Do this, and the pronounced judgment will not come." God will relent. God is sending these words because God has compassion. God will have compassion on you. God is sending these words. They're words of grace, words of great grace to a rebellious people, warning them of the imminent judgment coming. They did not put Jeremiah to death, nor did they amend their ways. This all again is taking place in Jerusalem. So it is true, as Jesus looks upon Jerusalem, saying, is written in Luke chapter 13, verse 34, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." How often has the Lord spoken through the prophets, and Jerusalem hears not? Jerusalem mistreats the prophets, and oh, how the prophets suffered in speaking the word of the Lord, the word the Lord had given them to speak. Listen to how Hebrews chapter 11, the by faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, describes the treatment of prophets. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in the second half of verse 35. "Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated." Why? They were speaking the word of the Lord. So too Jesus. He will receive this same kind of welcome in Jerusalem. Though the great compassion of the Lord was bringing the Son of God, the living Son of God, to Jerusalem, Jerusalem would not hear nor heed His words, though He was the Son, the very begotten Son of the only God. Instead, they would shout, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Jesus knew this well, for He said in Luke chapter 13, verse 33, "In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." Threats of death, challenges of suffering would not deter Him nor dissuade Him from His work. He will continue as He is doing. No threat from Herod, who had already beheaded John the Baptist, would keep Jesus from showing compassion and healing people and driving out demons. Jesus will heal today, tomorrow, and on the third day reach His goal. Today, tomorrow, and the next day, 3 days, and it is the third day, Jesus will reach His goal, bringing about perfect redemption through suffering and shedding His own blood in Jerusalem. Oh, how He longed to take them under His wing. Oh, how He wanted them to be His. And with overflowing compassion, as demonstrated by prophet after prophet after prophet sent with the word of the Lord, to which the people did not listen, so the Son was sent. Sent, translated from the root word apostello, from which we derive the word apostle. Sent, apostello, a compound word, apo, meaning away, and stello, send. Apo is an intensification of stello, which is to draw the focus back onto the one who did the sending. This connects the sender to the one sent, placing the attention on who did the sending. The sending one is the more important. Who did the sending? Sending the one to complete a mission for the one who did the sending. The prophets were apostles of the Lord in the Old Testament, just as much as the disciples were apostles of the Lord in the New Testament. Prophets were sent by the Lord, and they were given the word of the Lord to speak. The disciples were sent by the Lord with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the words of forgiveness of sin in Christ alone. For Christ went to the cross for the sin of the world. Another phrase there in Luke chapter 13 to focus on is, "I have longed." The root Greek word means desire, a desire that is wanting the very best. The Greek root word is often used to describe the Lord extending His best, as in offering faith to you. The prophets were sent with words of warning to bring about repentance, and change the ways of living from the wrong road to obeying the Lord their God, walking the right road. It was grace. It was the best offer from God. Over and over, the Lord sent to Jerusalem the best offer. And the people respond as they did to Jeremiah those years ago, as they did to the prophets before and after Jeremiah, and as they will do to Jesus as He heads to Jerusalem. Yes, death awaits Jesus in Jerusalem, for there is where they killed the prophets, the prophets that were sent to them. Now the Son is sent, and He too will be killed. Knowing that day, His coming will not dissuade Jesus from healing, teaching, preaching, and casting out demons. He will continue doing His work today, tomorrow, and the next day. As each day comes, Jesus will be doing what the Father sent Him to do. It's written in Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 32. Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep doing, going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." The goal is the cross. And on the third day, raised to life, paying the redeeming price as the perfect sacrifice, bringing forgiveness of sins through His blood, and opening heaven and eternal life to us. The Father sent the prophets out of love for His chosen Israel. The Father sent the Son out of love for us. Out of love for all humanity. Words of repent and believe are words of compassion. They are words of grace and mercy. These words of warning against sin and the need to change your ways and walk with the Lord in obedience are words of grace and compassion. And they come from the great love God has for humanity. For us. For you. Jesus will continue today, tomorrow, and the next day out of love for you. To the cross He will go out of love for you. How can people hate the word of the Lord, hate the commands of the Lord, hate the Lord Himself when so much love is being shown to us all? Billy Sunday preached of the love of God. And if you would be saved, it would be in the old-fashioned way. The way of the cross leads home. That's what Billy would say, the way of the cross leads home. Billy lamented over how to tell the crowds listening how much God loves them. Jesus lamented over Jerusalem with such love that over and over sent prophets to gather them in. But Jerusalem was not willing, not wanting the best the Lord God was offering them. The best being His very presence with them. Jenny Sunday had only enough for the train tickets to get her boys to Council Bluffs. And she was unable to send any food along with Ed and Willie. She saw comfort with faith, declaring, "God is going to have to get you the rest of the way." And God answered her pleas powerfully. "And you have only so much, perhaps not even enough for today. And who knows what tomorrow may bring with gas prices and food prices and. You can go on and on and start adding and ends, that ever-growing list of unknowns." By faith, answer, "God is going to have to get you the rest of the way. And the Lord will get you home." Beloved of the Lord, you will get home in Christ. For there was a today. It was a Friday long ago that Christ was crucified and died. There was a tomorrow long ago. It was Saturday. He was dead in the tomb. And there was the next day, the long ago. It was Sunday. Christ raised to life. He reached the goal of completing the redeeming work Christ was sent to do for you, for the Lord God loves you. Our resources are not enough. Our resources will never be enough. God is going to have to get you the rest of the way. And God will get you the rest of the way. as the Lord for Jenny Sunday did and did for Billy Sunday, the Lord can and will do in you. For the Father loves you. Live by faith today. Live by faith tomorrow. And the next day will come when the glory of heavens shine upon you and you will be home. For Christ Jesus loves you and will save your soul through the finished work of Christ on the cross. Amen. And amen.